You may be seated. Good morning, Grace. Good morning, Jackson. I'm so glad to see you. Would any of the other children like to join Jackson and I up front? Do you want to sit down, Jackson? Eleanor, yay! Hi! Hey, everybody! Come on! Sammy, you want to come? You can! And parents are welcome, too. Come on, Briar! Have a seat. Oh, Lucy, the bow, though, is gorgeous. I love it. Well, good morning. I'm happy to see you all today. Is everyone well? Yeah? Yeah? You're good? I notice a lot of you have on green. Is there a reason for that?
St. Patrick's Day.
What? I did not know, but I'm glad to know now. I have on some green, so I'm good. You have on green. Everybody has on some green. Okay. St. Patrick's Day is the beginning.
Now I'm like green is blue.
You do, and your shirt says lucky.
Yeah, and I have green pants.
Yeah, you do. Oh, and a clover. That's good. A clover? Is that a plant?
Yeah.
A clover is a little plant. Where can you find a plant?
Like
in the yard somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? I wonder how it got there. Yeah, sometimes four ones with four leaves. I wonder how they got there. Oh, okay, so what do you think I have in my box? What do you think I have? Any idea, Theodore? Huh? Oh, a puzzle is a good... Eleanor, how did you know that? You're so... So, what do you think I have, Lucy? Do you think I have seeds? Let's look. Yeah. You're gonna have a party? Let me ask you a question. I'm gonna show you what's in my box. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody here like to plant a garden?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so do you have one or you don't?
Briar. We have two gardens.
Do you have two? Take it. What do you want one? What is that? It's a seed. You want one? Okay, everybody take a seed. Everybody, you want one? Nate?
I want one.
You may have it. You may have it. It's for you. Do you want to see? Take one to your mama, too. I bet she would like it. Okay. Everybody have a seed? You want one? You can, because it's that kind of seed. Here, you want it, Sam? Oh, yeah. You want another one? Okay, great. Okay. All right, everybody, we have... Oh, there you go. So we have a seed. Everybody, now listen to my words. This is important. Everybody take your seed. You've got it. Now I want you to cling to it. Put it in your hand really tight. Leave it in your hand. Now I want you to leave it there forever. Is that good? Is that, Eleanor, what do you think?
But forever
means
not forever.
I just want you, but wait, I love this seed. I love it. Do you love it? So if we love it, we should hold on to it really tight, right? Yeah? No, Eleanor's like, I think she's wrong, but I'm afraid to say that she's wrong. Eleanor, you're right. I am wrong. So what would happen to this little seed if we just held it in our hand forever? What would happen to it? Nothing. That is a very good point. Who here loves flowers? Raise your hand. Yeah, you love flowers. What is your favorite flower? Anybody have a favorite flower? I love sunflowers.
I love sunflowers.
I do too. So if we wanted this little seed, which is a sunflower seed, by the way, to turn into a sunflower, what do we need to do? You may have it. What do we need to do with it, everyone? Plant it in the ground. If we hold on to it forever, what will happen to it? You said it, Lucy. Nothing. It will just remain this little seed, which is very cute, and I do love it, but I love sunflowers more. Yeah? Yeah. So sometimes the things that we love, if we hold on to them super tight, they don't get to become the things they're meant to be. How many people love puppies?
Have you ever had a puppy
and thought, I hope it stays a puppy forever, right? But do they stay a puppy forever? Nate, I know you have a puppy right now. Does it stay a puppy forever? No, what do we have to do? We have to let the puppy grow, right? If it's going to become the dog that stays with us and that we love. You have a puppy too. Right. So, this is what I want you to do, okay, friends?
I have a puppy named Pickle.
I do know that. When you go home, I want you to find a little patch of ground at your house that you can plant some seeds in so that they become beautiful flowers. And then on Easter, what will we do with the beautiful flowers? We'll put them on the cross, right, on Easter, and we'll all get to enjoy the beautiful thing that comes from seeds that go to the ground, okay? All right, thank you all so much. Enjoy planting your seeds. You may go back to your family now. Thank you, friend. So many good hugs. Thank you so much, friends. Obviously, Todd Donatelli was here last week. Just gonna lower that a little bit for me. So sweet. So glad to see all these beautiful children. Gives me hope. Those who love their life lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Amen. Amen. If we love something so much that we cling to it tightly, it will never change and it will never grow. This life that we have been given is a gift. It's a small seed at first. What we do with that seed is up to us. And what we do with that seed determines the fruit that our life bears. And those who hate their life will keep it for eternal life. If we love something, we cling to it. But if we hate something, what do we do? Once we're clear that we really hate something, what are we likely to do with it? Anybody? We're likely to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I'm not going to start singing, I promise. But we are likely to let it go, which is the opposite of clinging. This is simply and profoundly what Jesus is saying in the scripture. We must not love our own life so much that we cling to it. We must be willing to let it go. Just like the seed, if we hold on to it and we don't let it go into the ground, it will never grow, it will never produce fruit. So we must be willing to release our life, meaning the grip of control and self-interest, in order for it to grow and produce fruit. Easy enough to understand in theory, but not very easy to practice. Letting go is hard. Change can be hard. Why is it so difficult, do you think, to release our grip on that which we love so that it can grow? This is, of course, a rhetorical question, because anyone who has ever loved anything or anyone knows that to release our grip on that which we love can be scary. All of us desire to hold on to that which we love, and often as humans, we most love the things that we think or feel bring us security and safety. And that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense that we as humans would cling to that which we love, and as I said to the children, if we love the seed so much that we refuse to let the seeds go into the ground, the seed will die, and if we allowed to go into the ground, the seed changes from a seed. It transforms and it bears much fruit. Change is inevitable, but transformation is a choice. 59 years ago, on March 7th, everything changed. On a Sunday afternoon in Selma, Alabama, on the Edmund Pettus Bridge,
The march from Selma to Montgomery was made up of about 600 people. Those 600 people were seeking liberation, salvation from segregation, racial oppression, and economic injustice. Representative John Lewis, has anybody read this book? I recommend it. Representative John Lewis was one of the people that marched to Montgomery along with many others. Side note, Martin Luther King was not there. Many of you know this, but a lot of us tend to forget that. This was what many of them called a leaderless march. But Dr. King called John Lewis into action that day. And so he led the march. Those that were marching that day were people who lived lives as activists, clergy, students, moms and dads, grandparents and teachers, nurses and doctors, people who were Black and white, Jewish and Christian, Muslim and agnostic. Together, they had been planning for this day for a long time. Now, they were not naive, and they knew that this day would be fraught with danger. But you see, danger was really nothing new to most of them, because they had been in danger for hundreds of years in this country. So I want to tell you a story of that day from the words of John Lewis. As we turned onto the bridge, we were careful to stay on the narrow sidewalk. The road had been closed to traffic, but we still stayed on the walkway, which was barely wide enough for two people. John says, "I noticed how steep it was as we climbed toward the steel canopy at the top of the arched bridge. It was too steep to see the other side. When we reached the crest of the bridge, I stopped dead still. There, facing us at the bottom of the other side, stood a sea of blue-helmeted, blue-uniformed Alabama State Troopers, line after a line of them, dozens of battle-ready lawmen, stretched from one side of U.S. Highway 80 to the other on horseback. It was a drop of 100 feet from the top of that bridge to the river below. His friend Hosea glanced down at the muddy water and said to John, 'Can you swim?' 'No,' John answered. 'Well,' he said with a tiny half smile, 'neither can I.' But he added, lifting his head and looking straight ahead, 'We might have to.' Then we moved forward. The only sounds were our footsteps on the bridge and the snorting of a horse ahead of us. I noticed several troopers slipping gas masks over their face as we approached. At the bottom of the bridge, while we were still about 50 feet from the troopers, the officer in charge stepped forward, holding a small bullhorn up to his mouth. Hosea and I stopped, which brought the others to a standstill. 'This is an unlawful assembly,' the officer pronounced. 'Your march is not conducive to public safety. You are ordered to disperse and go back to your churches.' They responded, 'May we have a word with you, Major?' He responded, 'There is no word to have.' Then he issued a warning, 'You have 2 minutes to turn around and go back to your church.' John says, 'I wasn't about to turn around. We were there. We were not going to run. We couldn't turn and go back even if we wanted to. There were too many people. We could have gone forward he says, marching right into the teeth of these troopers, but that would have been too aggressive, I thought, too provocative. God knew what would happen if we had done that. These people were ready to be arrested, but I didn't want anyone to get hurt. We couldn't go forward, and we couldn't go back. There was only one option left I could see. We should kneel and pray, he said to Hosea. He nodded. We turned and passed the word back to the beginning, down in a prayerful manner they were asking to go. But that word didn't get far. It didn't have time. 1 minute after he had issued his warning, I know this because I was careful to check my watch, he says, he issued an order to the troops. Troopers, he barked, advanced. And then all hell broke loose. The troopers swept forward as one, like a human wave. A blur of blue shirts and billy clubs and bull whips. We had no chance to turn and retreat. There were 600 people behind us, bridge railings to either side, and the river below. I remember how vivid the sounds were as the troopers rushed towards us. And then they were upon us. The first of the troopers came over, a large man, and without a word, he swung his club against the left side of my head. I didn't feel any pain, just the thud of the blow, and my legs gave way. I raised an arm, a reflex motion, as I curled up in the prayerful protection position. And then the same trooper hit me again, and everything started to spin. I began choking and coughing, and I couldn't get any air into my lungs. I felt as if I was taking my last breath. If there was ever a time in my life for me to panic, it should have been then, but I didn't. I remember how strangely calm I felt as I thought, this is it. People are going to die here. I am going to die here. I really felt that I saw death at that moment, that I looked it right in its face, and it felt strangely soothing. I had a feeling it would be so easy to just lie down there, just lie down and let it go. But John Lewis did not die that day. John Lewis did not die, but John Lewis was transformed. And he went on to serve our country in Congress. Does anybody know how many terms John Lewis served in our government? Anybody have a guess? 17. 17 times he was elected. John Lewis was only 23 years old that day when he crossed the bridge in Selma and everything changed. Now, most of you know the rest of the story, how John Lewis and Dr. King and a few hundred other marchers made it to Montgomery, and then how they spent years after that day marching and preaching and teaching because they loved life and wanted to see change. We all know that many people made the choice to lay down their lives for this change, for transformation, for liberation, for salvation. Now, fast forward 50 years from that moment, 9 years ago, last weekend. 9 years ago, a few priests and parents, which I was a part of, took a group of 30 or so youth from Western North Carolina to the 50th anniversary of this historical moment for our country. We went as pilgrims who traveled to another place to learn and gain wisdom and then to bring that wisdom back to our community. One evening, after having heard President Obama and John Lewis speak on that same bridge in the midst of thousands of other pilgrims, our group had dinner and then prayers together. And then a few of us, a couple of clergy and a few parents and a group of teenagers, mostly white folks, decided to walk across the bridge together. It was an extraordinary moment. As we walked across the bridge, we too were careful to stay on the narrow side. The bridge had been closed off to traffic for the celebration, but there were hundreds of folks walking across the bridge that evening. As we walked, we all noticed how steep it was as we climbed toward the steel canopy at the top of the arched bridge. When we reached the crest of the bridge, we all stopped still. There, facing us, at the bottom of the other side, was a large group of mostly black teenagers and a few parents and adults. And they were dancing and shouting and singing in celebration and joy. So as we crossed and we came closer to this circle of gathered people, the teenagers in that circle saw us approaching, and immediately they opened their circle and they waved us in to join them. Our Western North Carolina youth looked stunned, terrified, really. You can imagine, I am sure. The invitation was beautiful, and yet to most teenagers and adults, frankly, the risk and vulnerability that comes up for us to just enter a circle of people you've never met and sing and dance with them could be overwhelming, can be scary to let go like that. But one of our teens, swept up in the beautiful moment, decided to just jump right into the middle of the circle, releasing his fear. He and the other teen from that group began dancing and singing together, and then the whole group erupted in applause, in deep and heartfelt laughter. It went on like this for a while, this laughing and cheering for these teens that were just dancing together in the middle of a circle at the foot of the bridge. I stood back from the circle a little and I just watched the celebration unfold. I saw the smiles and these bodies dancing with full joy and freedom, and my heart softened and opened and I began to weep. 50 years in the timeline of humanity is nothing but a blink of an eye. And in just a blink, on this very spot, just 50 years before, where so many had risked their lives, where so many had been brutally beaten, where there had been so much fear and violence, where John Lewis almost died, on that very spot, these children were dancing and singing and laughing together, surrounded by adults cheering them on a bridge in the middle of Alabama. I'm not so sure I've ever felt that kind of sincere hope for our world before. Hope in what was possible when people love life, not their life, but love life. And this was the fruit of the seeds they planted, this moment, this joy, this freedom. And we as pilgrims were witnessing it. Love, transformation, resurrection. Those who love their life will lose it. But those that love life will plant seeds of transformation. This is really all I wanted to say to you today. I don't want to wrap up this scripture with a nice bow or tell you how to plant your seeds of transformation. I just wanted to tell you a story of some people who did. I just wanted to remind you of hope. I wanted to remind you of the hope of what can happen when we let seeds go into the ground and they bear fruit. I just wanted to remind you that change is inevitable and that transformation is possible. Amen.